Thursday, April 23rd, 1987. Dr. Michael Blackwell, President, Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful for the resurrection, the Easter that brings a new hope to our lives, and we see evidences of it in nature, the beauty around us, and we're grateful for this, that even in our daily paths, you have chosen to surround us with beauty. We're thankful for the beauty that we find in other people, our friends and loved ones. And we pray that we may be grateful for this and respond to it. We're thankful for our opportunity of service in various places and in many ways. And keep us constantly aware of thy sustaining power during this. And now as we are in this hour of worship, draw near to us and bless us as we listen to thee and thy servant. Amen. It's a great pleasure for me to present Dr. Michael Blackwell, who is the president of the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. This organization employs 275 full-time staff members, and there are 27 locations in 17 cities in North Carolina. Inasmuch as Dr. Blackwell is a very capable administrator now, I knew him first as a student and a preacher. And that's why I'm particularly delighted to have him in this pulpit. He was pastor of the Monument Heights Baptist Church in Richmond and Ridge Road Baptist Church in Raleigh and the First Baptist Church of Carthage. He's a native of Gastonia and graduated from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and received his Master of Divinity degree and the Master of Theology degree and the Doctor of Ministry degree in Southeastern Seminary, during which time he was fellow for Dr. Max Rogers and Dr. Thomas Bland. It's not on his resume, but I happen to know that he was the Channel 5's evening newsman while he was here as a student, and many people would recognize him from the TV tube who might not have known him in person. He's going to meet with some students in the formation and ministry office after the chapel service during the morning, and any others who would like to meet with him and discuss a possibility of service with the children's home in some fashion, he would be delighted to talk to you. If you go over to that office, they'll make an appointment for you so you can see Dr. Blackwell. We're delighted to have you here.
Thank you. I want to express appreciation to the group that sang this morning, to those who have shared in this worship service, and to extend a special word of thanks and gratitude to Dr. Johnson for the kind and gracious invitation that he has extended to me to come and to share with you for a few moments this morning something very briefly about what is happening at the Baptist Children's Homes, and then to share a message that God has laid upon my heart for this day. It is a special joy and a privilege for me to see today several men and women who meant so much to me during my student years here. Dr. Bland and Dr. Trotter and Dr. Eddins and Dr. Johnson opened many new truths to me when I was a student here and were very patient and compassionate with me in my journey through the halls of Southeastern Seminary. I'm glad that Mrs. Binkley is here today. Her husband, Olin T. Binkley, handed me two of my diplomas and was chairman of the selection committee that chose me as president of the Baptist Children's Homes. Two of our staff members are here today. Philip Morrow, who would be our equivalent of your Dean Ashcraft, is Director of Family Services for the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. Mr. Morrow, a Southeastern graduate, would you stand? And Mr. Robert Wachs, who is Director of Communications and Editor of Charity and Children, also a Southeastern grad, would you stand, Bob? Mr. Morrow and I will be meeting with the students who have an interest in our work, and we do employ many Southeastern graduates all across North Carolina in the work that we are seeking to do for children and families. The scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. The question can be asked and the exclamation can be made. Who says, "You're not beautiful"? Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded any one of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Join me in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the beauty of this day, for the excitement that we have attending this place and discovering new truths about your Word and your world. And now, O Lord, would you allow the meditations of my heart, the preparation that has gone into this hour, to be acceptable in your sight, strength, Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever stood before a mirror and wished you had a different face or a different body? Happened to me about 4:30 this morning. If it hasn't happened to you, you belong to a very small minority of the human race. For we are told that even the most beautiful people in the world often have misgivings about their physical appearance. I have read in recent weeks that such luminaries as Meryl Streep and Paul Newman and Doris Day have publicly confessed about misgivings about their appearances. So you are in good company when you stand there before that mirror wishing that your nose were longer or shorter, that your ears didn't stick out, that you had Paul Newman's baby blue eyes instead of the ones that you were born with. Incidentally, on the day after he won the Academy Award, I heard him make the comment that he was colorblind. I say it serves him right. A man that old, looking that good, should have some kind of fault with him. You're not alone when you worry that you are too thin or too fat, or that your hair is too sparse or too coarse, or that you need, as old Don Knotts once said, he needed a complete body transplant. For it's the millions of people that feel exactly the same way that you do that have made reducing spas and plastic surgery as common as indoor plumbing. We live in a time that is preoccupied, if not obsessed, with attractiveness. Because of that, I find myself really resonating to the plight of poor old Zacchaeus in our text this morning. For aside from those with some very obvious physical problems, I cannot find anybody in the pages of the New Testament who is singled out for having a physical handicap or difficulty other than Zacchaeus, and that's truly exceptional. Zacchaeus must have been very short to have this kind of attention drawn to him. For Israel surely swarmed then, as it does now, with short people. People with warts on their noses. People with ears missing. People with deformed bodies. People in all shapes, sizes, and conditions, and yet nothing is said about any of them. Zacchaeus must have been a midget or a dwarf to have this kind of attention called to him. Now, can you imagine what life must have been like for Zacchaeus? People can be thoughtlessly cruel about handicaps, can't they? Zacchaeus must have been the butt of many jokes, laughed at by the prettiest girls, chosen last for all the games. So when the Roman government, who was occupying his country, said, "We have a job for you, little man. Come go to work for us. Be our tax collector," Zacchaeus jumped at the opportunity, saying that "I will now be somebody." So he made that compact with the Roman government, which allowed him to take a little extra money for himself and put it in the back pocket of his toga, and he gave great parties for important officials, and he built a big house for himself. Zacchaeus was a man who had arrived, or had he? He was certainly a well-known official in the town of Jericho when Jesus came to visit 2,000 years ago. And so when our Lord saw the little man sitting there on the branch of the sycamore tree, and he could ask, "Who is that man?" the rabbi that was accompanying Jesus and his disciples that day could quickly say, "Oh Lord, that's just Zacchaeus. He's our tax collector. He's the one that lives back there in the big house with the cypress trees lining the driveway." And Jesus, knowing how it really was with Zacchaeus, that he was much worse off than any cripple or deaf person, said to him words which I imagine he heard through the rest of his life, "Zacchaeus! Come down, for tonight we dine at your house." And that, my friends, was the day of the miracle in Zacchaeus' life. It was the day that he sat down at the table with the Savior of the world and saw that all of his worries about his physical size and stature and all of his ambitions to be important and to have people notice him were nothing but tawdry and unbecoming concerns in the light of eternity and the kingdom of God. And when Jesus looked that little man face to face, eyeball to eyeball, I think something like a spark of electricity happened between those two men. All I know is Zacchaeus' life was changed forever. All of the old hurts and indignities and insecurities faded into nothingness. And all of the compensatory achievements, the big house, the social prominence, the financial security faded into meaninglessness. For that moment, only the presence of the Savior mattered. Now that's the kind of experience that I would like for you to take from chapel today. That you could go back to your room or your dorm or your apartment or your home, and you could sit down in the house at the table with Jesus and feel all of your old hurts and animosities and insecurities simply drain away. That you could look into the eyes of the Savior and feel all of your greatest achievements becoming apples of dust and ashes, and you could see how beautiful life is and how beautiful you are in the presence of the one who has ushered God into our very midst and reminded us that God surely cares about us as He cares about the birds of the air and the grass of the field. That's the experience I want you to take from chapel today. If you can, and if you do, can you just imagine what it would do for you? You wouldn't look in that mirror anymore and wish you were somebody else, or that you had somebody else's figure. You wouldn't scheme or work to get ahead of everybody else just to make them think you're somebody. You would relax in the presence of the eternal Spirit of God and feel beautiful all over, and find you can do your work better and get along with your friends more easily because you wouldn't be possessed by the demons of getting ahead or showing off. And you would feel yourself in tune with the harmony of the ages, and you'd want to celebrate yourself and your life and God all at the same time. Think about that. If you think about that and it happening to you, then you get a little idea of what happened to Zacchaeus. His life changed radically and dramatically, and he said, "I feel so good that I want to do something about my conversion experience." And so he reached into the back pocket of that toga and he pulled out his billfold and he said, "If I have defrauded anybody of anything, I'm going to give them four times the amount. Half off the top is going to go to the poor." Talk about the evidence of a changed life. That's it. Zacchaeus is Exhibit A in the pages of the New Testament. He didn't need these props anymore. He didn't need a big house that he could look down on everybody else. He didn't need anything to lift him above the crowd. On that day in the long ago, he had met the master of his life, and he was ready to be a servant, and there was something beautiful about Zacchaeus that day. You've got to admit it. His life shone with a new radiance. One of the things that we tell the children at the Baptist Children's Homes is the thing that I will share with you today. You do not have to be attractive by Hollywood standards in order to be beautiful. Our noses and our eyes don't have to match our face. Our teeth don't have to be straight. We don't have to look good in a bathing suit. We just have to be a channel of God's love in this world. That's all. And when we are, we're beautiful just the way Zacchaeus was when he had been at the table with Jesus. At Baptist Children's Homes, we try to be a channel. We don't hit a lot of home runs in our business. Ours is a business or a ministry of singles. And it is not that vision from that 101-year-old past that sustains us. It is in our mission of the present that entreats us. It is our passion for the future that compels us. And when I and my staff leave this place today, we will joyfully take our turn at bat again, that we might strike a blow for the little Zacchaeuses of our land. I once heard a home run story about child care. It's good to have a home run occasionally. This was about a man named Father Jim. In the days when children's homes were known as orphanages, and Father Jim was the most loving, caring man that anyone who knew him had ever met. And all the children there in that orphanage loved him instantly. And even after they had grown up, left the orphanage, had homes of their own, they would find their way back to see Father Jim again. He had an amazing ability. He could celebrate and praise and extol in a child the very thing the child hated most or most wanted to change about himself. If a child had unruly hair with 94 different cowlicks going in 100 different directions, Father Jim would praise that hair until every child in the orphanage wanted hair just like that. And if a child had two left feet so that when he tried to run, he would become entangled in them and fall down, Father Jim would praise those feet until every child wanted feet just like those. One day when Father Jim was in town shopping, a new child was brought to the orphanage. It was a little boy with a terrible birthmark covering fully half his face. Apparently, the little boy had developed a disposition to go along with that birthmark, for he was clearly unmanageable, kicking and screaming and cursing at the social worker who brought him in. And all the children wondered, how in the world will Father Jim respond to this little boy? Surely he cannot find anything to praise or extol in him. So that afternoon, when Father Jim's battered old station wagon turned into that long driveway, they were all there to greet him. They wanted to behold his encounter with a new child. The little boy stood off by himself, defiant of everyone. Father Jim got out of his station wagon, and with his usual jovialness, they were shouting and hugging as he greeted the children. Then they all grew silent and stood aside as he noticed the new child. "Hello," said Father Jim, "and who is this?" "It's the new boy," they said, falling silent again, waiting to see Father Jim's reaction. "Well, well, well," said Father Jim as he approached the boy. The children stared to see what Father Jim would do when he caught sight of that hideous birthmark. And what they saw, they would never forget. "Here we go," said Father Jim, as he merrily scooped the boy up and he planted a big kiss right in the middle of that birthmark. And he squeezed that little boy tightly and set him down. This is a home run story. For that little boy soon became a model child. And all the other children accepted that birthmark as if it were something special given by God. For after all, Father Jim had kissed it, and that made it beautiful. If you want to know what we are about at Baptist Children's Homes, it is this: to take the life of a broken, hurting, demoralized, angry child and give him the kiss of God's love that he may be made whole and beautiful again. Think of yourself that way. God has kissed the very part of you always despised, and now it's beautiful in its own way. So it is with anything in creation that God has made, if only we can learn to see through the eyes of God, the way Zacchaeus did. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the beauty of Jesus Christ that irradiates our lives with goodness and warmth. Help us to accept what you have accepted and to call good what you have made through him who was master to Zacchaeus, through him who is master to us all, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.